We have the cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your blackheads, sniff some borax, and enjoy this episode of Box 13 entitled Shanghaied.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13. Box 13. Box 13. Box.
The body lay like a squashed melon at the foot of the cliff. Period. Period is right. Well, what happens now, Holliday? The inspector wonders how. The inspector wonders. Oh, no, it's Holliday who wonders. I wonder how. I wonder why. I wonder what. I wonder where you've been, Susie.
But, Mr. Holliday, I've only been gone 10 minutes. Went down to Star Times after the mail.
Oh. Oh, so you did. What's new in Box 13?
Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. And now, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, this is quite a letter. Your ad, Adventure Wanted, will go any place, do anything, reads like a challenge. If it is, I dare you to go to Bay City Pier tonight and do what you will be told when you board the Ruthie J. The Ruthie J.
Mr. Holliday.
What's the matter, Susie?
You wouldn't go on a boat, would you?
Oh, why not? As a kid, I was a Sea Scout. Haven't been on a boat since, and I love them.
But, Mr. Holliday, what if when you got on that boat, you were shanghaied?
Susie, the word is shanghaied.
Oh, shanghaied, shanghaied. What's the diff? Suppose some smuggler hits you over the head with a sloop or something, and...
Sloop? Oh, Susie.
Yes, a sloop. And then they sail off and dump you on the beach at Timbuktu.
They couldn't sail off and dump me on the beach at Timbuktu.
Why not?
Timbuktu happens to be in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Oh.
Yes, oh. And please tie an anchor to that imagination of yours.
Okay, Mr. Holliday. But if you wind up on the other side of the world, please don't write me a letter about your voyage.
No?
No. Just reading about the ocean makes me seasick.
Well, Holliday, this is it. Take in a lungful of that fresh ocean breeze. Smell that fresh salt air. And fish. Not so fresh. Well, the letter said I was to board the Ruthie J. I wonder where she'll be. I wonder what she'll be. A schooner, trim and neat, 42-footer, 12-foot beam. Uh-oh, there's your dream boat. And brother, what a scow. Neat. Like a tub of dirty clothes in a mud puddle. Ahoy! Ahoy, mate! Hey, you over there.
You're calling me, Mac?
Yeah.
What's with this ahoy mate stuff?
You're a seafaring man, aren't you?
Don't let these tight pants fool you. And just cause I'm standing on this sea jitney, don't make me no sailor boy.
Oh, my mistake. Where's the skipper?
The skipper? Hey, look, Mac, I told you I ain't no sailor. With me, you gotta talk English.
Right, Gunzel. Dip that heater back under your wing and take me to the boss of this fish factory now.
Ah, that's better. Now you're talking my language. Can I help you across the rail?
Oh, thanks.
Say, is your name Holliday?
Yeah.
Dan Holliday?
Now, how'd you guess?
Pleased to meet you. Sweet dreams, Holiday. I hope you enjoy the boat ride.
Holiday. Oh, Holiday, you've been sleeping long enough. Better wake up and see what's making your bed roll around like this. Oh, my aching head. Hey, what is this? Don't look now, Holiday, but Susie was right. You've been shanghoed. You're out at sea. Well, and a pretty girl aboard.
Hello, Mr. Holiday. I see you're up and around.
Yeah, I'm up and my head's going around.
Bit of a blow, eh, Mr. Holiday?
You mean the one on my skull or the one outside?
Oh, I'm sorry about that sapping you took. Sometimes Manny leans a little heavy with that blackjack of his.
If it had leaned any heavier, he'd have driven me right through the deck. Was it you who answered my ad for adventure?
Does that surprise you?
I wouldn't have associated such a violent reception with a lady.
You've embarked upon a real adventure.
Suppose I decide to sit this one out.
You could go ashore.
Now, which direction is ashore?
Immediately astern.
Oh, thanks.
About 15 miles.
Oh, well, in that case, I think I'll stay.
Good. I didn't want you to decline my invitation. Which explains Manny and his blackjack as a reception committee.
Oh? Well, since you're in back of this, just who are you?
My name is Marie Gordon. I felt you might be in need of a vacation, Mr. Holiday.
Oh, sort of a holiday for Holiday. Is that it?
Exactly.
Well, great. Now, just where do we go on this vacation?
You go fishing with the captain.
Oh, I go fishing with the captain. What about you, Miss Gordon?
I remain locked in my cabin. I have things to think about.
What about Manny and his convincer?
He didn't sail. Other business kept him ashore.
The plot thickens. I fish with the captain while you stay locked in your cabin, and Manny with his blackjack prowls ashore.
Correct. And speaking of plots, Mr. Holiday, I've always admired those in your books. Perhaps you could confirm something for me.
I could try.
Establish the case of someone having something not his own, wishing to keep it from another person who desires it as well. Where would you put it?
Well, in the place you'd least expect to find it, of course.
Of course, Mr. Holiday. Good night.
Good night, Miss Gordon.
Remember, the fish bite early.
I know, especially the suckers. There's a strong odor aboard this ship, and it isn't just fish. But there's nothing you can do tonight, Holiday, so you might as well get some sleep.
Oh, a sailor's life is the very best life, so it's a sailor's life for me. A sailor's life for...
You're the captain?
Yep. Morning, sir. Come through last night's squall okay?
Yeah, except for this bump on my noggin.
Roll to get his tension, eh? Twere a bit rough.
Rough is right. I understand you and I are going to do some fishing.
Aye, sir. These grounds is good for swordfish. Might even catch us a marlin.
Just where are we, Captain?
Them islands way off there is the Catalinas. Plenty of albacore here, too.
Doesn't Miss Gordon like to fish?
Don't know, sir. This is the first time she's hired me in the Ruthie J.
Then this isn't Miss Gordon's boat?
Nope. She's mine. We're just chartered for this trip.
How long are we provisioned for?
4 or 5 days. Could put in at Avalon if you want to stay out longer.
I didn't want to stay out this long.
Not ready to go ashore so soon, are you, Mr. Holiday? A few days fishing is just what you need.
What I need is to have my head examined.
That bump still bothering you?
No, but what might be happening back in town is...
Relax, Mr. Holiday. Everything will be taken care of.
Yeah? Yeah. But I'm wondering how and what and why. Why is right. Just why would a girl like Marie Gordon maroon you on a fishing boat? What's the gag? And how's it going to be pulled and on whom? Holiday, as an author, you're not even a good fisherman.
You're quite a fisherman, Mr. Holliday. Why, in just 4 days, you handle that heavy gear like a real deep sea man.
Thanks. But don't you think we've got enough fish?
You've got another. There goes your line off the outrigger. It's a big one. Let him run, sir. Now, hit him hard. Good. You've got him, sir.
Don't look now, but I think he's got me.
He's a marlin, I think. Let him play.
Let him go play with someone else. I'm tired.
Well, that's too bad, Mr. Holliday. You set your drag too soon. That's why you broke the gear.
I wanted to break the gear. I'm sick of fishing. Captain, I want to be put ashore now.
Sorry, sir. Miss Gordon will have to give me new orders.
Now, look, Captain, I'm going ashore. I'm going to be there before tonight.
But Mr. Holliday...
Captain, you heard the gentleman. He's going ashore.
Aye, ma'am. Do we run for the mainland or the islands?
Neither. We stay here.
But you said Mr. Holliday was to go ashore.
That's correct. Lower the dinghy, Captain.
The dinghy?
And hand Mr. Holliday the oars.
The oars?
Ma'am, we're more'n 10 miles off Catalina.
If Mr. Holliday wishes to be ashore before tonight, he'd better start rowing now.
Oh, you beautiful Box 13. If it hadn't have been for you, I wouldn't be out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in a rowboat. Better rest on your oars a minute, Holliday. Because the wind is coming up, the bump on your head is swelling, the ache in your back is growing, and the blisters on your hands are spreading. When Susie mentioned the beach at Timbuktu, she knew what she was talking about. There's no ocean there.
Hey, Spaulding. You looking for me?
Oh, there you are, Manny. Yes, I've been looking for you.
Now, what does the great Edward B. Spaulding want with
Quiet.
Me?
Quiet. Quiet, will you? You should know better than to mention me by name. Get in that booth.
Ah. None of your penthouse-type clientele would be in a joint like this. Have a seat, Spaulding.
I tell you, that doesn't matter. I just shouldn't be seen even talking.
In that case, hit the road. I gotta keep my rep, too.
Meaning what?
I'm a nice, honest hood. And even though you act and look like the owner of Tiffany's, to me, you're just a fence.
Where's your boss, Marie?
She's out fishing.
Fishing? She couldn't be.
Look, pretty boy. If her and this Holliday want to go on a fishing trip, it's their business, see?
It's my business to get what I've paid for. The last shipment's overdue. Now, where is it?
You're sounding kind of tough for you.
With the amount of money this deal involves, I can get tougher.
Well, I don't know from nothing. You gotta talk to her.
If Marie's trying to pull something... Hey, wait a minute. You mentioned a Holliday. That wouldn't be Dan Holliday.
Did I say Holliday? Thought I said Hollahan. Or was it Halloween?
All right, Manny, be a comedian. But tell your boss if she doesn't produce that merchandise by tomorrow, there'll be trouble.
Ha ha. If I told her, she might die of fright.
If she doesn't come through, somebody is going to die. And it won't be from fright.
Well, Holliday, you finally made it. You were towed into Catalina, hocked your watch for a ticket, and flew right back to town. If this is adventure, you'd better stick with the more dangerous sports like croquet or something. Susie. Oh, I forgot about Susie. She'll wonder what's happened. I'm 4 days late for lunch. She's not here. I guess she got hungry.
She's not here, Holliday, but I am.
Yeah, who are you?
Get in that office.
All right. All right. All right, now what's this all about?
I want to know where you've been for 4 days.
I don't think I've had the pleasure.
It may not prove to be a pleasure, if what I suspect is true. Now, where's Marie Gordon?
Marie Gordon?
From your expression of surprise, I gather you know what I'm talking about. Did you catch any fish, or was it larger game you were after?
Not knowing who you are, I'm at a disadvantage.
Disadvantage is even greater now. Now, do you talk, or do I shoot?
Oh, do I have a choice?
No.
In that case, I'll talk.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. And now back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Holliday, you can run into more trouble than a kid playing football with a beehive. You know, I don't think this guy's in the mood to believe you just got bopped on the bean and taken for a boat ride. He thinks you're in on the deal. Yeah, but what's the deal?
Come on, Holliday, talk.
Oh, I'd love to, but what do we talk about?
About 5 minutes. And if by then you haven't told me where you and Marie have been instead of fishing, I'm going to pull this trigger.
Now, believe me, I caught 5 tuna, 10 albacore, 4 swordfish, and a pair of blistered hands. And that's no fish story. Hey, where are you going?
Over here to turn up your radio. You see, I'm very considerate of others. This is a very big gun, makes a very big noise. I don't want to disturb the neighbors when it goes off.
Okay, Mr. Whatever Your Name Is. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And if you don't believe me, you can start shooting.
You sound very brave, Holliday.
And I act very dumb. Now, I know it was stupid of me to accept a blind invitation to visit a boat named the Ruthie J. Because when I got there, a tough character in tight pants used my head for a dinner gong.
Somebody slugged you?
Yeah. And I've got the bump to prove it.
This character's name wouldn't begin with the letter M.
As far as I'm concerned, it ended with A-N-N-Y.
So it was Manny. Well, go on.
While I was unconscious, I was tucked Betty by in the cabin of the boat. And when I woke up, I was gazing into the lovely blue eyes of one Miss Marie Gordon, a woman I have never seen before in my life.
Then I suppose you and this total stranger went fishing for 4 days.
Now you took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, find some more. And tell me you didn't ask any questions. That you were just brought back home with salt spray in your hair, a beautiful tan, and nothing else.
I asked plenty of questions, to which I got plenty of no answers. And for your information, I wasn't brought back home.
Oh? You swam?
No, I rode. 10 miles all the way to Catalina. There I caught a plane, took a cab from the airport, and found you here waiting for me. That, brother, is my story. You turned off the radio. What's the trouble? No gunplay?
No gunplay.
Great, but why the change of heart?
Holliday, I understand you're quite an author. But even you couldn't make up a story like that one.
So, Holliday, you got rid of the mysterious man with a gun. Hey, but what about Susie? She's not here. She's not at home. The Star Times. They'll know what happened to her.
Well, if it isn't Dan Holliday, have a nice vacation.
Oh, wonderful, Jonesy. Hey, have you seen Susie?
Not since the other morning. She came in with a wire telling her to take a few days vacation.
Hey, who told her to take a vacation?
Well, you did, of course. Don't you remember?
Jonesy, sometimes my left hand just doesn't know what my right hand is writing. Where'd she go?
She didn't say. She came in with a man wearing tight pants. She looked for the mail. There wasn't any, and they went away.
Man with the tight pants. Manny, I'll see you later.
No, wait. All this mail came while you've been gone. And a box, too.
Here. A box? What could this be?
Maybe candy.
Oh, nobody loves me that much.
Wait.
What?
You hear something tick in that box right now?
Tick? You think it's...
I think you better get that thing out of here.
Oh, but Jonesy,
take it to police headquarters. Get it out of the building fast. It might blow up any minute.
You've ridden in many a taxi cab, Holliday, but this is the first one you've taken with a maniac in the driver's seat and a bomb in the back. Inspector Blake, that's my man.
You say this thing ticked?
Yeah, it sounds like a clock in there.
Come on, hurry.
Where are we going?
We've got a bomb shelter down in the basement.
Oh, that's great, but why take the bomb with us?
We're going to open that box.
That's all I need.
soaking for 30 minutes. We're safe now.
Whew. Thanks, Inspector. Say, do you mind shoving my heart back into place for me?
Well, there's nothing to worry about, my boy. We'll open up this beauty and see what we've got.
Holy smoke.
These are jewels, Holiday. Now, what made you think this was a time bomb?
I have an aversion to anything that ticks.
And I have an aversion, too. To people like you come in here talking about time bombs when all they've heard are some loose jewels clicking together.
Well, I'm sorry, Inspector. Well, I think I'll beat it. Just let me wrap up those stones.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Those jewels stay here until you can prove ownership. Now, where'd you get them? To whom do they belong?
Give me about 30 minutes, Inspector, and I think I'll be able to answer you. So that's what it was, Holiday. A stunt to smuggle jewels. Into Box 13, no less. That Marie Gordon, she's a clever, clever girl. No wonder the mysterious character at the office was waving that gun at me. Oh, think of what would have happened if I'd tried to lie to him. Come on, Holiday, you've got places to go and some people to meet.
I was sure worried about you rowing all that way, Mr. Holiday.
Oh, that's okay, Captain. Hey, what I came here for was to locate Miss Gordon. Do you know where I can find her?
She's a popular woman. Two other men come a-looking for her.
Two men?
Yep. One was a smooth-looking sort of fella. The other was a tough.
With tight pants?
That you mention it? Yes. He was here when we docked.
What happened? Did you hear the conversation?
Only that the tough one was to go right quick to a place called Rambler's Inn and wait.
Then the other man arrived.
Yep. He seemed sore about something. They got in a car together and drove off. That's the last I see of them.
Captain, you're terrific. When my blistered hands heal up, you and I are going back after the Marlin that got away.
All right, Matt. Where do you think you're going?
Well, if it ain't Mr. Holiday again. Only this time, I don't think you were invited.
Yeah, that's right. And this time, you're the one who's going Betty by.
You fool!
Pleasant dreams, Manny. Here. Just in case you get restless in your sleep, let me tie in bed with this bailing wire. I didn't have time to ask you in which cabin there were, Manny. But those angry voices I hear down the line, I don't think they would be coming from honeymooners.
Marie, for the last time, where are those jewels?
Don't threaten me, Spaulding. Manny's right outside. One call from me and he'd be all over you like a rug.
I gave you the money to pay off the smugglers. I want the jewels.
At first, the boys didn't want to turn over the stuff. When they finally did, I thought they might try to get it back.
So you went off on a fishing trip with a man named Holiday. Why?
Certainly. And for a good reason. Holiday has the jewelry.
What? How did he get into this?
You know about his ad in the Star-Times?
What about it?
Well, I thought we might have trouble with the boys. I had to think of a place to put it where they wouldn't expect to find it.
So?
I sent it to Box 13. Where are you going?
Pay another visit to Dan Holiday.
Don't bother.
What?
I'm here.
Holiday!
Manny! Manny!
I'm afraid Manny won't hear you.
What?
He's taking his nap. And you look sleepy, too.
What?
Say, Manny's blackjack works fine. Your friend Spaulding is sleeping like an infant. Now.
Now, what?
Now, what's this about my having that smuggled jewelry?
You, could share in it with me.
You're very generous.
I can afford to be. Duty-free, and with Spaulding's wealthy client.
Oh. You decided to cut Spaulding in after all.
Why should I?
What do you mean?
I'd rather cut you in, Mr. Holiday.
No, thanks. I'm not interested.
But that's foolish. Think of all that money.
I am, but I'm also thinking of a great tag for the yarn I'm going to write.
But what will that get you?
Royalties, lady. Royalties.
This is Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, Holliday, prepare yourself for an I told you so from Susie when she comes in. Brother, wait till she finds out she was right about those smugglers and my being shanghaied.
Holliday.
What is it, Inspector?
We've been after that smuggling gang for a long time. If that Gordon dame hadn't gotten so greedy and tried to chisel on Spaulding, we wouldn't have caught up with him so soon. And, of course, you helped a bit, too.
Coming from a police inspector, those are very kind words. Well, Susie, it's about time you showed up.
Oh, hello, Mr. Holliday. My, what a beautiful tan. Catch any fish?
All kinds. Tell me, Susie, where have you been?
Out of town. The wire you sent me said to take a vacation for 5 or 6 days.
Oh, the wire I sent, which I didn't send.
Well, anyway, you didn't specify which, so, Mr. Holliday, I took 6.
I see.
And, Mr. Holliday...
Yes, Susie?
You know the nice man that I went down to Box 13 with?
Yes.
Well, I told him how I warned you about being taken by smugglers, and do you know what he said?
No. What did he say?
He said you were right about the smugglers. They wouldn't hit you on the head with a sloop. They'd use a blackjack.
Oh, fine.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is directed by Ted Hediger with original story by Frank Hart Tausig. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. Original music was composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. This is a Mayfair production.
Is it mid-November already? Did somebody tear a few pages out of my trusty calendar? Welcome back to Ricky Jin's old-time radio. Now enjoy this episode of Lights Out entitled We Dug It Up.
Arch Obler's Lights Out, everybody. It is later than you think.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
It is a nice day. Yes, I agree with you, Mr. Staro. It's as nice a day as I, too, have ever seen. I remember a day like this when I was about 12. Mother took me into London to see the King's Palace. There, that was Edward. And I had on a green suit and I... But that wouldn't interest you now, would it, Mr. Sparrow? Funny, I never went back. Less than 100 miles away, and I...
Morning, Mr. Jeffrey.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Elton.
Well, Mr. Jeffrey. Oh, kind of late in the season to be planting now, ain't it?
Oh, I wouldn't exactly say that, Mr. Elkington. Not for what I'm planting.
Now, what would that be, might I be asking?
A tree, my friend.
Ah.
A nice, strong catalpa tree. My son sent it to me all the way from Exeter.
You don't say catalpa tree. Well, now. I say, could I be giving you a hand with that shovel, Mr. Jeffrey?
Oh, no, thank you kindly. I like to dig in the soil, and the exercise does me good. Thank you kindly.
Oh, well, then I'll be off on my business, Mr. Jeffrey. Good morning to
you. Good morning, Mr. Erkington. Good morning. Well, it is a good morning. The rain certainly softened you up, didn't they, Mr. Ground? Nice and soft. Nice and soft. Going to dig you a nice deep hole, Mr. Catalpa. Yeah. Nice deep hole so that your roots will have a good firm start in life. Yes, indeed. Well, that's not only to act, Mr. Ground, throwing big boulders in the way of my shovel. Mighty big stone, too, from the sound of it. Dig you up, Mr. Boulder. It takes me a week, yes, indeed. Big stone, all right. Keep after it, that's all. Died all these years in the corner of my garden, and I never knew about you, now, did I? There. Yeah, that's showing results. Yeah. Like an oblong. That's queer. Big flat oblong stone in my garden. Dig you up, Mr. Elton. Dig you up. Yes, indeed. Mrs. Gracie. Mrs. Gracie.
Yes, what is it?
Mrs. Gracie, come out here. You've got to come out.
All right, all right. Now, what in creation is it, Mr. Gibbons?
Mrs. Gracie, look. Look.
Land sakes alive. What kind of a hole for a tree is that? Don't see why in the world...
Look, I tell you.
Is it a coffin?
Coffin? That size and out of stone? Then what would a coffin be doing in my garden?
I've never heard of anyone being buried here. It's much too big.
Mr. Gracie, I got it.
What?
Roman. The Romans left it here.
Romans?
Don't you understand? The Romans. Invaded and lived in Britain over 1,500 years ago. They left it here.
Nobody like that lived round here. And don't you tell me anything different, Mr. Jeff.
But I am telling you, a Rome is a sarcophagus.
Now, Mr. Jeff.
Oh, never mind. Mr. Robinson, run over and get Mr. Robinson here. Tell him to bring a couple of men. We've got to dig this thing up.
We've got to dig it up. Mr. Jeffrey, it's the sun that struck your head.
Now, don't stand there lecturing me. Mr. Robinson, hurry, get in.
No, I won't.
What?
Not to dig it up, I won't. To bury it deeper, yes, but not to dig it up.
Mrs.
Coffin or one of them heathen, whatever you call it, it makes no difference. If it's been buried here all these years, then I say cover it over and let it be. There's some things best left deep under the ground.
All right, ma'am. Are you ready with the ropes?
Ready, Mr. Robinson.
Right, you are. How about you, Joe?
All ready, Mr. Robinson.
Good. Now, when I give the signal, 1, 2, 3, you on that side of the rope, pull, while you on the other side work on the block and tackle. 1, 2, and up on 3. Have you got it?
Mr. Robinson, you will be careful. I mean nothing, Daddy.
Now,
I mean,
look here, please. Friend Jeffrey. I've been in the building and excavating trade and constable of this township for 20 years.
I know.
And all that time, I've given only one thing, and that's satisfaction.
Yes, sir.
Now, as for this little stone container...
This Judas priest man is 10 foot by 3, and heaven knows how heavy.
Well, true as that may be to my way of thinking, it's still a small job. If you're worried about my damaging it, you're free to call in one of my competitors.
No, Mr. Robinson, I want you to handle the matter. Oh, yes.
All right, then stay clear, and I'll give the order.
Wait. If you please, Mr. Robinson, wait.
Eh?
That housekeeper of mine, Mrs. Gracie, she wouldn't want to miss the doings, and I don't know where she's gone off to. If you'd only wait...
Jeffrey, I'm a busy man, so if you'll just stand aside...
No, please.
All right, men. Ready. Now, don't pull until I get the signal. One, two, three, up with it. Easy there, Joe. Bring those ropes over the left. Up with him! Up with him! Steady there! Not too fast, you fool! Stand up, you're ready to put on red. Easy now, girl.
Don't swing it too high. Not too high. Are you deaf? Not too high, or is it...
No, no! Put it back in the ground! Put it back in the ground, I tell you!
Mrs. Gracie, what in the
world?
Put it back in the ground! In the ground! It was and in the ground it belongs! Mr. Jeffrey, I'm
get out of the way! Jeffrey, get that woman out of the way!
Mrs.
Gracie, are you crazy?
Get your woman and get away! My men can't hold it!
The tackle is slipping!
Look out! Look out! Get on those ropes, fool! Get on those ropes, Liz! Hurry now! Hurry! Get over here!
Mother in heaven! It fell right on top of her.
Get it off!
Coffin fell right on top of her. Oh, Mrs. Grace!
Ah, it's a cruel thing, Mr. Jeffrey. Cruel indeed.
Yes.
Cruel and yet not cruel. For the ways of the divine providence are beyond our poor mortal understanding. Yes, I shall say that very thing over her grave when we bury the poor woman.
As you wish, Reverend.
Ah, what a day this has been. More excitement in just a few hours in this village than we've had in a dozen years. I wonder now whether... almost nine. Well, I better be getting back to the church. Have to get everything ready for the service tomorrow. Did you speak to Mr. Carboy about the coffin?
Yes.
That's good. We'll pay the good lady proper respect, we will. Well, I'll be on my way.
Good night, Reverend.
One thing more, Mr. Jeffrey.
Yes?
I didn't want to speak of it in all the excitement before, but I feel I really should.
Yes, Reverend?
I know you were in quite an emotional state of mind, but do you feel it was quite the proper and respectable thing to do? I mean, having that Roman antique brought right here into the house, when it, inanimate thing though it be, was the direct cause of poor Mrs. Grace's death.
I wanted the sarcophagus in here, Reverend.
Wanted it? But what possible use could that great stone sepulchre be to you? Oh, I realize it has certain intrinsic value. After the funeral, we'll get in touch with the proper museum authorities in London and have them take care of it. But don't you see, it wasn't quite respectful to the dead. Bringing the very thing in here that had caused the tragedy. Not respectful at all, Mr. Jeffrey.
It was what I wanted. Good night, Reverend.
But, Mr. Jeffrey, I... good night. Good night.
Disrespectful. No fault to miss a coffin as she ran under it. Call in the proper authorities. I'm proper authority in Roman things myself, I am. Read the whole Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, didn't I? I certainly did. Here you are, Mr. Coffin. Just where I made them put you. And I did make them, didn't I? Ran right under you, she did. Superstitious old fool. No fault of yours, Mr. Coffin. Yes, you're a big one. Let me see. About 10 feet long on this side and 4 this way. It's a discovery that ought to make history, that it ought. Wait for extra, should I? What would the expense do? Cart you off to one of those museums, and there I'd be. There, the man that found you, with nothing but a hole in my garden and a new grave in the cemetery to show what had happened. Now. I'd be my own expert, Mr. Coffin. I'd open you up myself right now. And I'd take the blame or credit and no mistake about it. That iron bar. Mr. Robinson will wonder where his crowbar went. No wonder, Mr. Coffin. But we'll give it back to him in the morning. Yes, indeed. Yes. Got your wide open enough to look inside now, haven't I? Experts. I'll show them. Uh, don't mind now, Mr. Coffin. I'll bend over to see what you've got inside. Carpy. Got a call. Are you there? Are you there? Reverend, this is Mr. Jeffrey. Yes, Jeffrey. No. Listen to me. That room is a carcass. I just opened it. Inside of it, there's something, a woman, and yet it isn't. I mean... Oh, Reverend, come over quickly. You see, whatever it is, I don't think it's dead.
You must listen to me. I'm a person of understanding, of judgment. I say leave it alone. Don't go near the thing until they get here. Now, I phoned Dr. Thompson at the British Museum. He's an expert, a qualified expert.
Expert. There you go, experting again. Now, you shove on that side and I'll pull on with this.
Yes.
That ought to fetch the lid off.
It's all against my better judgment.
All right. Off with it. She goes. Another shove. We've got it over. Reverend, look. Look at her head.
What in Satan's name is it?
Lion's head. That's it, a lion's head.
And the body of a woman.
And alive. She is alive.
Don't be a fool. It's a heathen idol. Stone.
No. It's living skin. I'll touch it. I'll prove it. It is stone.
And a blasphemous heathen thing. We'll cover it up, and in the morning I'll have it buried again.
No, you won't. It's mine. Found it on my property.
Oh, heaven forgive you. The blood of your poor housekeeper still staining it.
Staining it? What are you talking about?
Mrs. Gracie's blood. See, it's still on it.
But the outside of the coffin fell on her. This part was closed.
But it is blood. Fresh blood.
Can't be out here.
Mr. Jeffrey.
Reverend. That woman. A minute ago I felt cold stone. And now it's warm.
Constable, can't you walk any faster?
Oh, it'll wait, Reverend. Whatever it is, it'll wait.
But I tell you, he acted like a madman. Practically threw me out of the house bodily because I persisted.
Now, wait a minute, Reverend. Begging your pardon, wait a minute. Me, I don't know a thing about this. I'm sleeping as peaceful as a sheep in the fields when you wake me up.
Will you represent the law in this community?
Not begging your pardon, I don't know if there's any representing to do. If you get what I mean.
But I told
yes,
you...
Yes, sir, you told me that the coffin that killed poor Mrs. Gracie...
He opened it, I tell you.
And since when is that against the law?
Oh, keep walking, man, keep walking.
Begging your pardon, Reverend, I know when I'm walking.
Now, here's the house. Now go in there and see for yourself.
And that's just what I'm going to do, sir.
You see, I demand that you remove the heathen idol by force and have it buried in the ground where it belongs. I demand...
Hold it, sir. Well, it's me, Mr. Jeffrey.
I didn't send for you.
I brought him here.
Oh, it's you, is it?
And now, Mr. Jeffrey, I feel it my duty...
Then begging your pardon, Reverend, as long as you got me out of bed, let me do the talking, if you don't mind, sir. Now, Mr. Jeffrey, I'd like a bit of an explanation.
Explanation, my grandmother.
Constable, he slammed the door in our faces.
Well, that he did, but what of it? He's broke no law that I know of.
Then come and see for yourself. At the window.
What? Glory be. I see the thing now. It can't be alive.
I don't know. Stone, and yet it was warm to the touch.
It better not be alive.
Why do you say that?
Because, look for yourself. Mr. Jeffrey, he's cutting into her with that bit of iron.
Come in and help me, Mr. Elton.
I'm right glad to be of service, I am. I'm glad to be of service. This is devilish hard rock.
Yes, it is. But we've got to break the statue open, Mr. Elkington. We've got to.
If you say, sir.
Oh, the fool, the constable, and the reverend, they'll be back soon with some new ideas about getting into the house now, won't they?
I suppose, sir.
But they won't stop me. They won't. I've a chance to do something before I die. Make a big discovery, I tell you. They won't stop me. We'll have the statue cut open before they get here now, won't we, Mr. Elkington?
I will try.
Yes. Cut it open and no secret. Something that keeps that stone warm as if it were flesh. That'll be a wonderful discovery now, won't it?
Ah, that it will.
Faster, Mr. Elkington, faster.
I'll try. Crikey, this stone is so hard.
They mustn't stop us. No. Faster, Mr. Elkington. Elkington. Why have you stopped?
It's my fingers. Can't open the end.
Chisel, give it to me.
Oh, God.
Got to keep working. Got to. I know the secret in you, Lionhead. That's the name I'm going to give her, Elkington. Lionhead. The power that's kept the stone in you warm all these centuries. I've got to know that, Lionhead. And I will know it. Got to keep working.
Now, Reverend, you can drive a man too far. I tell you...
No, Constable, now we'll tell you. For 24 hours, you've been telling the people of this community that the law won't permit you to do this and the law won't permit you to do that.
Well, it won't.
But we tell you we won't stand by and permit one of our citizens to indulge in heathen madness and not do something about it. Am I right, gentlemen?
But what can I do? He's in his own home. He's not committing any public nuisance.
We've gone over that 100 times. The fact remains, you've got to go in there and stop him. You've got to.
The hardest stone in the world. They beat you up, huh? Yes.
Mr. Jeffrey, I'm asking you, please stop cutting into it.
Because of the warmth. Before any of the others know about it. Won't they stop me?
Hark! What's that?
Got to keep working.
That sound, Mr. Jeffrey, what is it?
Can't talk to you, Mr. Elkington. Important work.
But, Mr. Jeffrey, the chisel, why did you drop it?
My hand. Like an electric current running through the chisel.
Oh, no.
No, just a weariness in my muscles. Pick up the chisel. Yes. Go on. Yes.
I think I'm going now.
No, you stay where you are. You stay there. If I lock the door for you, they will come in. And I won't let them in before I learn the secret, you hear me?
That sound, Mr. Jeffrey, it's like something burning. You hear? It's been getting louder and louder.
Well, stop. I've got to find the secret of that warmth. 15 centuries of warmth.
Mr. Jeffrey, it's the constable.
I don't care.
Open up, Mr. Jeffrey.
You won't stop me, you meddling fool.
Open up, Mr. Jeffrey, in the name of the law. We've got a warrant this time, good and proper.
Warrant? No.
Mr. Jeffrey, you ought to really...
No. I'm almost finished. Go away.
Dr. Professor Thompson from the museum.
Mr. Jeffrey, I warn you.
No, open
up or we'll break down the door.
Mr. Jeffrey, I beg of you, please.
No, they won't stop me. I'm almost through.
I tell you, I'm frightened, I am.
Almost broken through to the middle of my statue.
Oh, no.
I'll find out the secret and no one else. There. My chisel breaking through. It's hollow. Breaking through. In a second, I know. In a second, I know.
Help! Somebody help!
Jeffrey, what
is this? Jeffrey, he's on fire! He's on fire!
All right, men, quiet down. Nothing more we can do. Mr. Jeffrey is dead.
Such a horrible way to die.
It was the lantern. Set him afire, I guess.
No, it wasn't that.
Hey, what's Amos Wilkington?
I saw it all.
A flame come out of the statue.
You're dead, man.
No, I swear it's the truth. I saw it. Professor Thompson, you tell him. What did you see as you came through the door?
There was a flame from it.
But how can that be? Flame from a statue?
And the Romans went down to Egypt.
Professor, tell us, what is it? What is this statue?
The lioness-headed goddess Sekhmet.
Well?
And they worshipped her as the goddess of fire.
Again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAB.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.